A couple stands before a pastor and in the service of marriage promises to love one another in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health. In other words, promises to love one another with all they've got. Now, is this wise? Is it wise to love with such extravagance, to hold nothing back, to love without limit as long as we both shall live? Ought not the bride and groom ought to hold something back? Ought not they carefully consider just how much love they can muster for one another and yet still maintain their cherished individuality? No, says the church. Go ahead, love with unbridled enthusiasm and extravagance. Love is a renewable resource, and giving you receive when it comes to love. Maybe love is a spendthrift, isn't good at arithmetic. In our New Testament lesson for today, Jesus has been healing and teaching. And now he goes to the top of a mountain and sits down alone with his disciples. But the crowds keep following him. Jesus, knowing that they will be hungry, asks his disciples where food might be purchased. Ever practical, Philip says, 6 months' wages would not be enough to feed them. And besides, McDonald's and Arby's closed hours ago. Okay, well, maybe that's not exactly how the text reads. And always trying to be helpful, Andrew points out that a boy in the crowd has 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish, but then realizing how silly that sounds in the face of some 5,000 people to feed, he hastens to add, but what are they among so many people? 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's no match for so great a multitude. Now, commentators point out that there's a tension here that can be resolved only through some fresh, miraculous, powerful intervention. So Jesus takes what seems to be very meager resources in hand, and there is, in fact, enough. In fact, there's an overabundance of food. You see, scarcity in the face of great need is contrasted here with the gracious, extravagant abundance that is offered at the hand of Jesus. And we note that the story does not end simply with all getting to eat, which would be miraculous enough in itself. Instead, John says that they ate as much as they wanted until they were satisfied. And the story does not even end there with that miracle. Instead, they took up what was left over and 12 baskets were filled. You see, there's not only fulfillment, but a surplus. That's the way it is with Jesus. Even on a mountain, far away from any city's resources, when Jesus is there, there is fulfillment, abundance, extravagance, an overflowing of graciousness. Let's ask Sally to do this job, said one of the members of the committee. Sally always does such a great job on anything she undertakes, and there's widespread agreement among the committee. Heads are nodding yes, and I, as her pastor, though, say, now, do you really think that's fair to Sally? Sally already has two or three of the harder jobs in the life of this church. She's one of our busiest members, one of our hardest volunteer workers. Well, that's just my point, said the moderator of the committee. Everybody knows if you want a job done right, always ask the busiest person to do the job. Busy people always seem to be the people who somehow find time to do even more. Yes, extravagance, even in the midst of resources that seem meager. The Methodist bishop, William Willimon, who's certainly influenced this sermon, points out that sometimes you hear family members say, "I love my family. I would do anything in the world for my family." But Willimon goes on to say that's really not saying all that much. After all, our family looks just like us. We parents have much of our egos tied up in our children. But I know parents who are able to love even beyond the boundaries of their own kith and kin. Pastor, we decided to adopt the foster child that we've been keeping. He's such a dear little thing. The parents have given him up for adoption, and we think that's what we ought to do, she said. And I, the ever-cautious pastor, asked, "Do you really think that's wise? You already have three children. You're a wonderful mother, but are there not limits? Aren't there limits to how much love you can give?" "Well, Pastor, when it comes to love," she said, "I haven't yet found my limits. From my experience, love feeds love. It grows by being given away. The more you give, the more love you seem to have. That's how it's been in my experience." And you know, she's almost always right. All this reminds me of those strange little parables and stories that Jesus told. Stories like a farmer who sows far too much seed, and most of the seed was wasted, falling on the wrong sort of soil. But when you're sowing good seed on bad soil, well, sometimes you have to overdo it. The seed that did manage to take root, said Jesus, and it produced an abundant harvest. Or earlier in this same book of the Bible from which today's lesson comes, in the second chapter of John's Gospel, the wine gives out at a reception following the wedding, and what does Jesus do? He turns the water into wine, not just a little bit of water into a little bit of wine. He makes, according to John's estimate, about 180 gallons of the best tasting wine they had ever had. Now, I'm a minister, you understand, though not a teetotaler. But as a minister, I'm not supposed to know too much about this sort of thing. But that sounds like an awfully lot of wine for one party. Yes, isn't that a great deal of wine? He just turns not simply the water into wine, but he turns it into 180 gallons of wine, an abundance, an extravagance. Just turning the water into wine would have been sign enough, but again, the overflowing generosity. Or take the story of that wayward prodigal son. The father of that son didn't just welcome his son back. I think we would have done that. No, the father welcomed him back with a huge, expensive, wild party that was extravagant. You could hear the music from way out into the fields. And it wasn't that the Good Samaritan stopped and helped the wounded man in the ditch. It was the way he helped. The Samaritan put the wounded man in his car. He took the man to the nearest intensive care and emergency room provided hospital. He told the doctors, here's everything. A man who's wounded, now take all my credit cards, my debit card. Here, you can even take my checkbook. We don't use them much anymore, but here it is if you need it. And I'll be back in a week or so. And if that's not enough money to treat this man's wounds, I'll give you even more. I don't think he even knew the wounded man. Isn't that just a little bit overly generous on the part of the Samaritan? And so Jesus said at the end of that series of stories about parties that just when one sinner, only one, turns and repents, just one, heaven throws a huge party. All heaven breaks loose. Do you know how expensive parties are? Do you know how expensive a party can be here on earth? Imagine what good catering costs in heaven. Extravagant, generous, overflowing. Yes, Jesus told stories about extravagance and abundance and overflowing. And what Jesus said is God is exactly like that. Let's remember that in those meager times in our lives. I can't guarantee that something like this will happen, but I can guarantee that this is the way God is. Now think beyond the stories of Jesus. God could have made just one shade of flower, say a red rose. But when we used to go to the Tyler Rose Garden in East Texas, near where we lived, in the midst of the season, you could look out upon that garden and there were literally thousands of shades of roses, thousands of kinds, thousands of colors, thousands of shapes and forms. And that's with just one kind of flower, a rose. There are thousands of flowers, different kinds of flowers in our world. And here is a God, you see, that when he started creating people or flowers or birds or stars, just didn't know when to stop. Perhaps with God, creativity is a renewable resource. And I don't know about you, but I've known people who have faced crisis after crisis after crisis. And not all of them do this, but there are many who come back and still are able to deal with more. And that suggests to me that courage and determination, like love and creativity, may well be a renewable resource. Yes, Jesus tells one parable, a parable about an employer who gathered all his employees together, said, "Hey, I'm going off for a long, long, long vacation. I'm going to leave the place to you." And he gave them everything he owned, every single cent. And He left for his journey, and the employee that got half of his property went out and he wheeled and he dealed and he doubled the money. And the one who got 1/4 of the master's property did the same and doubled his money. And then a prudent, cautious employee took about an eighth of what he got. He took about that eighth and he buried it in a field, and he kept it safe and sound. Nothing could happen to that. No risky investments here. And the boss was so angry with that one prudent employee when he returned. Yes, my friends, there seems to be something built right into the nature of this God that tends toward extravagance, effusiveness, abundance. And so Jesus goes to a hillside to teach. And look at that crowd that showed up. Must have been 5,000 of them out there if there's a dozen. There's hunger. What can we do? Look, Lord, there's nothing here but a few loaves and 2 cold little fish. And then Jesus takes what they have. He gives thanks over it. He breaks it. He gives it. And wonder of wonders, it's enough. No, that's not right, says John. They ate. They were satisfied. And when they took up the leftover broken pieces, there were 12 baskets full. Yes, John says, there wasn't just enough. There was more than enough. Friends, as we walk through life, as we walk through this interim journey together as a church, let that be a lesson to us. Amen. In gratitude,